Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoors, the official podcast of Living the Dream Outdoor Properties. We live by the motto, it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. And we live the outdoor lifestyle every day. Whether you're a landowner or dreaming of joining the ranks of those closest to the earth, we're your brothers and sisters of the outdoors. We hunt, we fish, we're stewards of the land. And our Living the Dream team will show you the way to enjoying the land and all the outdoor pursuits it has to offer. Here's your host, Bill Cooper.
Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Cooper.
I'm your co-host, Hunter Heineman.
Hey, we got a special guest today. You can introduce him. You know this guy very well, Hunter.
Yep, I got my brother-in-law here, Lucas.
Hello.
Michael Hannon, what a mouthful. Is that Irish?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, of course. I'm Irish, too, but my name's Cooper.
It's a little easier.
Mine's hard to pronounce.
Here we are, January 1st, 2025. Looking back, 2024, quite a year for all of us, I think.
I can't believe it's already done.
Yeah. Boy, I'm telling you, we're here at the... Do you call this the world headquarters?
It's definitely the headquarter office, I would say.
Yeah, for Living the Dream Outdoor Properties. What a beautiful facility. And, hey, we got a lot of family in here today. Kids running around. I hear a little squealing and hollering and a little partying.
We got the next lots generation of realtors in here.
Yeah. Next generation.
Yep.
Boy, you start them young, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Hunter, man, I haven't seen you in a while. I know you've been busy running all over. I'm so envious. You just got back from Alaska.
That was a fun trip. Super fun. We went to a place called Larson Bay Lodge, Alaska. It's in Kodiak, on Kodiak Island. It was super fun. It was an experience. We went to go see duck hunting.
Wow.
Me and my dad, and then paired it with a deer hunt, but we spent most of the 6 days there. We were duck hunting. It was just kind of one of those things. It was, I think, a lot better duck hunting weather when we were there than deer. So we stuck with the ducks, and that was kind of our main thing.
Now, this is sea ducks, right?
Yeah, sea ducks, and then
scoters and eiders?
Yeah, yeah. So they didn't have the eiders where we were at. I think to kill them, you got to go to Greenland or Iceland. I don't remember. There's the king eiders. You got to go to Greenland or Iceland for those, and that's some pretty crazy stuff where you got to shoot them out of a floating blind or a boat.
Really?
So that one's a lot of guys do that trip totally separate, but this one there was a lot of harlequins,
Ooh, beautiful ducks,
surf scoters, white wing scoters. There was a ton of golden eye.
That's still on my... I can't believe I haven't killed a golden eye in my lifetime, but I have not.
Yeah, we killed the heck out of those up there. There's common and Barrows are the two golden eye up there. And then there's some bufflehead up there. And there's another duck that gave us a lot of trouble shooting. It was called a long tail. A long tail. And it looks kind of like a pintail, but it's all white with a little bit of black and gray.
Sound like a beautiful duck. Well, how do you compare it to duck hunting down in the lower 48? How do you hunt them differently?
It's definitely different. One of my favorite things about it was, first of all, they take you from camp. And we were at Larson Bay Lodge. I would highly recommend that if you want to go there to duck hunt or deer hunt. They also offer fishing. And then he does brown bear hunting as well. So
Kodiak's known for big brown bears.
We saw one.
Hunter knows.
We saw one. I had a brown spot in my pants.
Might have been close.
There was a brown spot in my pants. It was, anyways, I'll talk about that a little bit towards the end. But on the duck hunting, that outfit that we went, they killed it. They do a good job. They have a ton of staff, really good food. They got guys that'll help you take your guns and clothes and everything to and from where you're going. The way that we duck hunted, though, is they'd start off every day. You'd just go to the boat and you'd head out on the – it's like a – kind of like a skiff boat with a little cab in the middle.
Yeah.
And you could walk around the cab. And so you could stay warm in there, which was nice. And they'd basically just take you out to a point and kind of depending. Like if it was super windy, they'd try to get you in like a more of a cove.
Yeah.
Is a windbreak. And their biggest challenge with hunting ducks is when they go out in the main channel part with those boats, sometimes the wind makes that current in the ocean too crazy. And then, you know, there's the high tide and the low tide and the wind, and it's all kind of a factor. So that was the challenge with it. But they put us out on a point the first day we were there, and we got some Harlequin drakes and what else? I think we got some, just a lot of Goldeneye and a lot of Harlequin that day. Were the two sea ducks we got. And then we saw some of the long tails, which are really cool, but we didn't end up shooting any of them that day, just mainly Harlequins and Goldeneye. But they put you up on like a point, and you're actually shooting down at the decoys, which was really cool because normally down here, you're down in the ground in a pit and you're shooting up.
Right.
Well, it was really cool to shoot down because we could see where our shotgun pattern was going.
Oh.
So the ducks, they only fly. You know, there's a couple shots where I was pointing up to shoot at them, but most of them, you know, you're pointing down at like a 45 degree angle. And
wow.
They put one string of decoys out in a line.
Right.
with the really long string with weights. And that's how they just hang out right off the shore. But those ducks, a lot of them fly in just like 5 feet off the water or less. And then they decoy really good. So a lot of our shots
that helps
30 yards or less. You know, you don't call them or anything. You're just waiting for them to pretty much fly by.
Oh, so it's kind of pass shooting situation.
You're pass shooting. Some of them will just act like they're going to land, but they zip over them like inches off the water. There was some Magansers up there too. Common Magansers. We shot a few of them. a lot of Goldeneye though. But then what would happen is they would basically you'd shoot them and we had a radio and then we would call them to tell them, hey, we shot, you know, we got four down, come pick them up. And he'd come scoop them up with a fishing net with the boat.
With a fishing net.
So basically once you got dropped off, you just, all you had to worry about doing was shooting and not running out of ammo. The other, which I would tell you that was a challenge we faced. That's the other hard part about hunting those ducks is they're diver ducks.
Right.
So, and like even a Goldeneye is considered a puddle duck, which is the same thing that we hunt down here. Mallards, pintails, like freshwater ducks is what they call them. But they have their species up there are the diving ducks, which is like the Harlequins, the surf scoters. I think the buffle heads are considered a sea duck. The Magansers were sea ducks. The long tails a sea duck. So anyways, you would shoot these ducks, and if they were, you know, 10 feet flying off the water, they would fall. And instead of hitting the water and, you know, kind of flopping around or whatever, as soon as they were on their way down to the water, they would just dive with it and they would go down. So if they were hit.
Yeah.
So it's like you would shoot them and they'd just disappear and you could see where they hit the water. You'd have to wait for them to pop back up and you just got to keep shooting until they're done. Expired.
Yeah.
They're just a tough duck and all of them up there are tough. And, you know, there's some mallards and pintails. I think we saw a few of them, but we wanted to shoot what we don't really have back home. So.
Exactly. Well, as far as the shooting was concerned, were they harder to hit than ducks in Missouri?
You know, we shot pretty good, but
adapted pretty quick. You know?
We brought 350 shells plus six boxes. So that would be, what, 450-ish shells or something like that. And
had to go buy six more cases.
No, we didn't come home with any.
Oh my goodness.
And that was
come home with a sore shoulder, I guess.
5 days of duck shooting. But I'm telling you, you know, you could hit your first shot and smoke it and then put two or three more in it, no problem, while I was on the water to finish it. So
yeah. Well, ducks are tough to kill on water anyway, and you take a sea duck. Most of these ducks are pretty good size. Bigger than a mallard. Most of them.
The golden eyes are, I would say, kind of the size of a gadwall.
Okay.
And then the surf scoters are more like a, probably like a mallard. Yep. And then the harlequins are, they're not very big either. They're probably gadwall-ish.
Well, just thinking about comparing the ducks from the north in Alaska and ducks down here, you know, seem like those would be the tough guys up there. Oh, they're living out on the ocean. Wow.
They're tough. Yeah. And then, you know, one of the things they would do is they would, the guides were telling us you could shoot them, knock them down, and if they're still alive, they'll dive and they'll go down to the bottom and hang onto a piece of seaweed, kind of tangle themselves up in it, and then they just die underwater.
I've heard stories like that. I've heard stories like that around here of diving ducks that would do that.
Yeah.
But I've never witnessed myself, but it'd be pretty intriguing. What about for his table fare? Have you eaten any of these ducks?
You know what they did? There was like 20-something guys there when me and my dad were there, just from all over. And most of them were deer hunting. And the weather got really rough after we got there. So a lot of their flights were delayed. Well, there was like two or three groups that came in. And there was one group that got 2 bucks pretty quick deer. And then another group that ended up getting one. Well, these one guys, where the deer was, I think they dragged it or packed part of it. Like, I think they were dragging it, and they got it like a mile, and then they basically had it gutted, and the gut pile was like a mile back. And then they took the heart and the liver back to camp and said, if you want to use it, we just thought we'd bring it back, you know. And they tried to hide it the best they could, so like a bear couldn't get it. And they went back and packed it out the next day. But
wow.
The chef made deer heart and deer liver, and it was probably the best version of it that I've had on, like, she brought out like a cracker and some kind of like, I don't know, like little cranberry or blueberry sauce to go with it on top with a
sounds
little
pretty keen.
Like a little bit of some kind of like cream cheese thing on it too.
You didn't take pictures of it, photos?
No, I'm not big on I usually eat it before I get my camera out.
Getting all excited.
And well, then
I'm such a foodie, something new and unusual, I always take photographs first.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the sea duck, it definitely tastes different, in my opinion, than our duck here. I want to say it's maybe a little bit more gamey, but to be honest with you, it wasn't bad. I didn't think. Now, the local guys up there, they didn't want any part to do with it, but I think where the flavor gets interesting is with like the harlequins and the surf scoters and some of the real diver ducks. But the golden eye, I think, is what we were eating, and she cut it. It looked like she made it as a steak and then cut it in real thin strips, and it was like probably medium. And then she took a cracker again with some kind of
spread,
like sour cream onion spread, and then put the meat on top of that.
You're making me hungry.
A little green onion. Oh, wow. It was good. So I have a bunch of it at the house. We still got to get those birds down to the taxidermist, but a lot of them, they kept the wing on because we had to fly them back home.
Right, right. And federal regulations.
Yeah, but I mean, we were pretty close to our limits on some stuff. You can kill 14 ducks there a day, but then they have a weird thing with non-residents that if you can only kill 4 types of each sea duck per season. So like I could only kill, and then your possession limit was so many. I think it was 20 sea ducks and 20 puddle ducks, freshwater ducks, or 21, I think. But so you can only kill 4. Like, I could only kill 4 harlequins, 4 surf scoters, 4, it's 4 of any species, I think.
Right.
So you could kill your 4 harlequins, 4 megansers, 4 longtails, up to 20.
Right. Well, that's a pretty healthy limit, though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, here in the state of Missouri, limit is 6, I think, over 4 mallards.
There was a day it was just crazy. We came back with, like, 25 ducks or something. We were just shy of two, you know, two man limit, which that's, wow, that's fun. That makes it fun. It's a lot.
Oh, it really does. And that still to this day, as old as I am, one of my favorite things to do is waterfowl hunt.
Oh yeah.
And I've had a standing invitation to go back to the Ketchikan area. That's Prince of Wales Island, Southeast Alaska. Mm. I've been up there salmon fishing, and I was laughing about the deer situation. I told him, if you want to kill a deer, should have went over to my buddies at Ketchikan. His little town we flew into had to take a float plane out to the boonies. But I was out walking around town, and I got to watch a little black-tailed buck. He was probably a six-pointer fighting it out with a poodle.
Oh, man. Yeah, the deer are interesting up there. They're not as skittish on that island. Not even close to like a whitetail. I mean, you could wave at them and they just kind of sit there and look at you because they just don't see that many people at all.
I'm sure that's true.
And I think I think I heard at one point somebody say like the population on Kodiak Island is like 10,000 people or something.
Yeah. Pretty slim, I imagine. I suspect winters are pretty rough up there.
I bet.
And very long.
Yeah. We had one day that we actually didn't even go out. They told us, they said, hey, it's too windy to go duck hunt and the tide's wrong. And we said, that's fine. And we stepped outside and it was about a 50-mile-an-hour wind and it was only 15 degrees out. Well, it made it feel like it was negative temperatures. And me and Dad just stayed in and watched football all day.
Sound like a good plan B to me.
We're like, yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't deer hunt in that kind of weather probably.
Oh, I wouldn't either. Certainly not these days. Well, guys, we need to take just a short break here, but folks, don't go away. We're going to be right back with some more adventures from Living the Dream Outdoors podcast.
Hi, I'm Steve Stoltz with Drury Outdoors, and you're listening to Living the Dream Outdoors podcast with Phil Cooper and Hunter Heineman.
Hey, this is John from CoAngler.com. Did you know that CoAngler.com is the newest online platform to connect anglers for fishing trips? You can create your free account, offer and request fishing trips, connect with anglers in your area, share some costs, share some knowledge, and share a great time in the outdoors. Whether you're fishing from a boat and you got an extra seat and want somebody to come with you, or you need some help shuttling those kayaks for your next float trip, CoAngler is a great way to connect with like-minded anglers in your area for a great time out on the water. So get on CoAngler.com and let's go fishing.
Hey there, listeners. At Conservation Federation of Missouri, we're more than just advocates for our environment. We're active in making a difference through hands-on programs that protect and preserve Missouri's natural resources. By becoming a member, you're supporting impactful initiatives like Share the Harvest, which provides venison to families in need, and Operation Game Thief, which helps combat poaching and protects our wildlife. You're also contributing to the RISPR grants, which fund local conservation projects across the state. Your membership makes these vital programs possible, ensuring that we continue to serve both our communities and our environment. Plus, as a member, you'll receive updates on these programs, invitations to exclusive events, and the opportunity to get involved in the work you care about most. Visit confedmo.org/join to learn more and to join us today. Together, we can support programs that protect Missouri's wildlife, waters, and way of life. Be a part of the Conservation Federation of Missouri, where action leads to conservation.
Hey everyone, this is Michael Collins with Misty Mountains Guiding Service. I'm here to talk to you a little bit about what we offer. Misty Mountains is a smallmouth and trout-specific guiding service that caters to the Northern Ozarks region. My areas include the Upper Merrimack River, the Gasconade, and a few smaller creeks in the Mid-Missouri area. Whether you enjoy casting streamers to bass, drifting a dry fly, or ripping lips with spinning gear, I've got you covered. Fishing is made easy in my state-of-the-art drift boat raft. I control the boat with ease while you or yourself and a buddy do all the work at catching fish. Besides a great day on the water, I provide all needed gear, a delicious shore lunch, and as much fishing knowledge as you can carry with you on the way home. Spots for the 2024 season are going fast. Give me a call or text today to get your trip booked. My number is 573-823-9057. Find me on Facebook and Instagram at Misty Mountains Guiding Service. It's always an adventure with Misty Mountains.
Hey, everybody. This is Alex Rutledge with American Roots Outdoors. Check out my buddy's podcast show, Living the Dream Outdoors with Bill Cooper and Hunter Hindman. You're really going to enjoy this week's show.
Welcome back to Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast. Boy, we've had quite a time in that first session. And Hunter, man, you got us, man, look, fired up. We're ready to jump on a plane and go to Alaska.
I'm ready to go back.
Let's go.
Yeah, it's a good time. I would highly recommend to at least go visit it one time, whether you're just sightseeing, fishing, hunting, whatever, hiking. It's just beautiful.
My experience with Alaska was a last second trip with my dad, and that was the coolest thing I've ever done, you know, and I would totally go back.
You know, what were you guys doing, fishing, hunting, or sightseeing, or all of above?
My dad does radiology equipment, and he was doing a vet clinic up there. He's like, hey, do you want to go with me? I'm like, yeah.
Well, sure, I want to go.
And so when we weren't doing that, we had just drove up and down the road and found a guy to take us fly fishing, and I caught a steelhead, and we weren't out there for very long, but I'd never been fly fishing before, so it was
cool experience. Well, actually, when I was in Alaska, I got to catch some Dolly Varden. That's been a beautifully colored fish. I just didn't catch any very big ones. But next one on my list, I want to catch some grayling.
Yeah. And,
oh, got to get it done before I kick the bucket. Yeah. No. But, Hunter, you guys had some excitement up on your trip. You run into a big furry creature, I understand.
Yeah.
That video was great.
And wasn't your brother-in-law.
Right?
No, it wasn't. It was a lot bigger than Lucas. Anyways, but yeah, we really only deer hunted one day, but we could get the gist from the camp of what it was like and what it was about. And so anyways, we were pretty close to done on our limit of ducks anyways. So we were like, well, we'll deer hunt one last day. It was my dad's birthday, actually.
Oh.
And we went out and basically they drop you off on a shore. And this was an unguided deer hunt, I guess, which is kind of why I like the duck hunting, because he was just like, he knew exactly which point he was going to take you to. Right. And you sat down and you hunted and you knew you'd have a good shot. Well, the deer hunting part of it is, it was more just unguided, drop you off. You kind of got to pack in, bring your knives and everything. You know, where we hunted, they dropped us off on a shore. And again, you can shoot in Alaska from the boat on the shore.
You can?
Yeah, the motor, you just have to have it off and not moving. And so, again, these deer will just literally sit there and look at you. We went out and packed in about 2 hours. We went to this opening, a field. It's kind of like, it looked like, to me, it was like a low area where maybe like some beavers had it dammed up or something. There's like little ponds and it looks like it's just kind of stayed like a field. Anyways, we sat over one for maybe an hour, nothing came out. Then we hiked back in another 20, 30 minutes to this other bigger field. And, that's where we saw the big furry creature, the brown bear. Wow. Anyways, we, set up on that field when we were walking down into it. My dad's like, hey, there's a deer right there. And I'm like, where? He's like, oh, it's just 70 yards right in front of us. It's bedded down right there on the edge of the field. Sure enough, it was just like a little spike buck. I could have shot it if I wanted to, but I didn't really want to shoot a spike. So anyways, we sat down and it just sat there and watched us for 45 minutes. We ate lunch. It finally moved off and I had some deer spotted about 500 yards away through the field. Well, you know, I was kind of looking at him and thinking, I'm going to sneak over there and walk to him. You know, if I get 200 or less, I'll take a shot. And I did have one. There was one buck with him, and I couldn't really tell how big he was, but it was the last day. I was probably going to go try to at least see to shoot it. But before I did that, I kind of went down into the field. I couldn't see around the corner. It was so thick. That's another thing in Alaska. It's just this thick, thick brush. When you're actually walking through the trees, you can maybe shoot 50 yards, if that. Wow. And so now some of those guys were like saying they were walking up two deer 20 yards away, and those deer are just standing there.
Never even knew.
Because they knew, but they're just, when they see a person, I think they're more curious than afraid. And so anyways, that's kind of how the deer hunting was. And I peeked around this corner. I got my binoculars up and I'm like, oh man, there's something brown right there. It's about 120 yards away, and I'm looking at it.
Here's your sign.
Yeah.
And it, then all of a sudden, the bear picked its head up, and she was walking right to me. And so I backed up the hill because she had her head down. Figured she wouldn't see me. Backed up the hill, and I was standing next to Dad. And I said, "There's a bear right there, and it's gonna walk right."
And he whispered,
right,
"Dad,
right
I can outrun you."
Yeah, that's all I would have had to do is just outrun him. Anyways, this bear walked right out, you know, in front of us, and he had it on video, and wow. it was. I had my heart rate up, and I had like, I guess, buck fever, but I thought I was going to get attacked.
Oh,
so it was worse. Yeah, we were at one point it was 60 yards away and she was winding us and looking over at us. So we kind of started just waving our hands and letting it know we were there. And that's what the guides told us to do if they, you know, kind of knew you were there, but it was weird. Wow. It just was kind of scary. Cause
I imagine
they can run 30, 40 mile an hour. So it would have been to us pretty quick.
I bet you'd have broken your personal best speed record,
though. Oh yeah, definitely.
Oh yeah, bears are a different sort of thing. I can remember, thought I was going to get eaten by a big black bear in Colorado one thing. Just the weirdest thing. We were elk hunting on horseback, and the very last day of the trip, the guy that kind of was the head honcho of the trip decided we're going to ride 11 miles that day. We didn't leave camp till like 11 o'clock in the morning, get back to this big valley. We hadn't seen any elk, and of course we're hearing them bugle over the next mountain, and we just didn't have time to go that far, but saw lots of mule deer. Nobody had a mule deer tag, but we'd ridden that far, and one guy in the party tied our horses up, everybody's pulling their rifles out of scabbards. This dude had rode off and left his rifle at camp. Now, how do you do that? So,
rookie mistake.
Yeah.
Won't do that.
Well, I was carrying a .44 pistol, and the nice guy that I am, I gave him my rifle. Mm-hmm. So I took off, walked, I don't know, 2 miles down this mountain. Good point. I could see three or four more points and trails coming down. And I had a cow tag, and I might get lucky and get a cow walk right up on me. What's the first thing I see? A big bear running down one of the trails. And he hits the bottom down there. And he's coming straight my way. So I sat there for the longest with my .44 up, you know, just waiting for this bear to pop out of the brush at 10 yards.
Like I don't even know if it's really that I was, like, that terrified of it being a bear. It's just the sheer size of them.
Pretty intimidating.
I mean, yeah, it's just intimidating. It was this bear, we showed the guy the pictures and stuff, and he said that's a 8.5-foot sow. And he said the males get up to 10 feet.
Eight and a half feet, though. That's...
Yeah. And he said it was probably, you know, 500-600 pounds, maybe seven. But it
probably looked like maybe 2,000.
The neck on that bear was bigger around than me.
Wow.
So it's just kind of like, that's scary to think about. But yeah. And then got lucky enough to get back home, and. And then I went hunting with my wife, Abby, and
little deer hunting.
Yeah. We harvested a whitetail 8-pointer, and we did that. And so we got lucky with that, just a couple of days left in the season. And I plan to go out some in muzzleloader. And then I think me and Lucas are going to go down to our property in Southeast Missouri and duck hunt for a few days before that season's up. And I've got one other trip planned, at the end of January down in Southeast Missouri, like Campbell, Missouri.
Oh, yeah.
At a lot. I think it's Wardell, Missouri, actually. Wardell. But it's around Campbell, and it's kind of down there where we went snow goose hunting that one time. But there's a lodge down there that Jeff Browning hunted last year, and they did pretty good. And so he invited us back. They hunted.
You remember what
name
of the lodge is?
I don't. It was something that he just did. But it's a guided deal, and I think it's like 4 or 5 days, but it's at the end of this January, and then I'm supposed to sucker fish on the 11th, go gigging for him or whatever.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty excited about that. So I don't get
lots of things coming.
Do that too much. Yeah,
yeah. Well, I'm gonna be at Real Foot Lake the January 10th, 11th, and 12th with Legend of the Outdoors doing a TV show, and they're on Real Foot Lake. I'm really looking forward to that. A lot of fun. But boy, my deer season's been great. You know, I've heard a lot of people say that they haven't didn't see a lot of deer this year, but I hunted a farm in Phelps County, one in Gasconade County, and I've killed three so far.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandson's killed one, and actually, I bow hunted quite a bit and could have taken several shots, but I was literally, I was telling Lucas earlier, I'd have a deer come by 30 yards, I'd pick my phone up. It's 75 degrees. Nah, I'm not shooting a deer today. I never did even shoot at one with my bow.
Yeah.
But saw lots of them. But I had the craziest thing happen this year. I killed a doe in Phelps County in a food plot, but there was a decent eight-pointer with it, but I didn't want to really kill the buck. The guy that owned the place got four little boys. We kind of saving the bucks for them. Mm-hmm. He said, they won't hesitate. They'll shoot him. But I dropped this doe, and the buck ran off into the woods. About 2 minutes later, it's back and standing over the doe. And, of course, she was in heat, but he would not leave that doe. He even took his antlers, pushed her around a little bit. One point, picked her front legs up with his antlers, trying to make her get up. But I shot that doe at 3:15. At dark, he was still there. He bedded down with her.
Yeah.
And I actually had to walk out as it was getting dark and scare the buck off and took some neat pictures and videos and stuff. I'd never seen that behavior before. Posted on Facebook, got like 500,000 views. Of course, heard from a lot of anti-hunting side, but also heard from biologists and a lot of different people that saw it with such cool behavior that they had never seen it before. So really cool. But hey, great deer season. But one old boy up in Ohio was kind of singing the blues about his deer season. A young man by C.J. Alexander killed a 206 7/8 inch buck with a crossbow, but he was trespassing, and he sold antlers, even sold rights to his story to a big deer hunting magazine.
Wow.
18-pointer, and he got busted. He's paying $43,000 in fines and doing some jail time.
Hey, guys, there's enough public land. Go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
Instead of trespassing.
Yeah.
Well, that should... He probably learned his lesson on that one.
Oh, I would hope so. But again, all the Facebook wars that go on, a lot of people thought, oh, you know, just hang him, whatever. Others were saying, it's just a deer, you know, just let the guy go. So you got attitudes and opinions from one extreme to the other.
Well, you
got to
keep the line very clear on that, I think. And
absolutely. I think so. Just
let it slip with a couple people, it'll slip with all of them.
And oh.
Then we won't have any deer left. I mean, look how far the deer populations come along. I mean, you can have
in my lifetime
two doe seasons now here in Crawford County.
Yeah, you see,
never used to be a thing when I was little.
Yeah. Well, when I was little, there wasn't even any deer down my part of the world.
Exactly. And now you've got two doe seasons. You got alternative season. You can hunt with a crossbow compound, a handgun. I mean, there's so many.
You can hunt with an atlatl if you want to.
Yep.
Pretty grand here in the state of Missouri, but you know, what is it, Hunter? I don't know, about 87% of the property in the state of Missouri is private property. And that's where most of the deer are killed. And I know Living the Dream Outdoor Properties has got some great deer hunting properties listed always. And you guys are still moving lots of properties, but got anything you can tell us about, Hunter?
Yep, I do have two that I'd like to mention. I've had this one for a little bit now. Really cool place. It is down in Douglas County. It is 31085 County Road 346-A, and it's 200 acres on the Brush Creek, and it's got a two-bed, one-bath cabin. And this cabin's totally custom and built and designed by the sellers themselves. It's actually made from, I think, a couple barns and barn wood.
Oh, like, wow.
Really cool. Nice. And the wood that they salvaged off of the buildings is really nice. But it's just one of those cabins. It's got a walk-around porch, and you can see the creek down below. And
sounds like it's heaven.
You know, it's not totally finished in like a normal cookie cutter home in a subdivision or anything.
Right.
But if you're looking to get out and be in the outdoors and hang out with your family, and it's got like a cool loft, so you can bring a kid there and hang out. You could go probably bring a kayak down on that creek, and it's got smallmouth, bluegill, largemouth in it. And it's crystal clear water. It actually, I think, flows into the Bryant Creek. and that's got trout in it. And I don't think this creek does, but it's, I mean, plenty of opportunities for deer hunting. You know, it's got plenty of places if you wanted to add another building, maybe something more permanent, you could do that as well. But the cabin itself is just really, really cool because they built it themselves and they salvaged this kind of cabin that wasn't a whole lot before they added years and years of old cool wood pieces from all these different areas. I love
that stuff.
Yeah, and it looks really cool. They did a good finish on it. And anyways, that property, kind of crazy, but the seller said that the turkey hunting there is just really, really good. There's a couple open fields that he has a farmer take some hay, and he just gives that to him. But the deer and the turkey really like it right there in the bottom. They fly across the creek way up on a ridge, and they'll fly from up top of that ridge down into his fields.
Oh, sweet.
And
now that's Southwest Missouri, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. That's some wild, wild country down there. I've turkey hunted down in that part of the world and deer hunted. Got some deer friends, owned a couple thousand acres down in there. And, oh, some sweet bucks come off that place every year.
So, and then, like, there's that one, you know, it's listed right now at 875, right at 200 acres, got the cabin. In my opinion, it's a really good buy and a good deal in today's world. And then, so that one, you know, is a pretty cool custom cabin on a lot of acreage. And then, like, this other listing, I just listed it yesterday. Kind of the other end of spectrum, I guess. You have what it is it's, I think this one's 39367 Mary's Road 216, and it's in Mary's County. It's outside of Meda, Missouri, but it's just kind of south of Jeff City.
And not far from Lake of the Ozarks.
Not very far from Lake of the Ozarks. It's 13 acres with it's a 5,000 square foot custom log cabin, like big, like, you know, 2 foot, 3 foot around logs.
Wow.
And it's really cool. You know, and it's not like end to end logs. It's like the Lincoln logs where they're stacked up one on the other and they stick out the end and go out to the exterior. And so it's a beautiful design, and the sellers do an amazing job of keeping it clean and keeping up with it. So it's basically turnkey ready to go for the new owner. And it's on the Little Mary's River. So you got,
it's right over the river right there.
Yeah. It's up on a bluff. It overlooks a whole bottom. And you can actually walk down to it. Not the easiest, but the cool thing is they own another little strip of ground, maybe an acre, just right in between the county road. And there's a strip of trees and then the river. So you can just park probably right off the county road and walk right in there.
Wade and fish. Good smallmouth fishing in Little Mary's. You don't hear much about it because it is a pretty small stream and pretty much – people that's got private property fish.
Yeah, sometimes smaller streams have the bigger smallmouth because they're not as bothered as much, and people don't take them out and eat them as much. So,
like, you're supposed to keep that a secret,
right?
Just let the cat out of the bag.
But
it sounds like a beautiful property.
It is. It's 13 acres. It's fenced and cross fenced. At one point, they had like 10 to 13 longhorns there.
Wow.
They only have one now,
but living the dream.
They're just trying to downsize, but it's a very cool, about a 5,000 square foot custom cabin on that river. And so that's the other end of things, less acreage, bigger house. That one's going to be listed at $899.
Better jump on those deals. Well, Hunter, you've got a new publication out. Would you like to tell people about that?
Sure. It's our new, magazine. It goes out, I think, it goes out to a lot of truck stops and gas stations. Mm-hmm. It's a free magazine for anyone to pick up. It's on those shelves that have the newspapers and everything else and other publications on them that are also free. But what it is I think we send out about 40,000 of these every quarter. And what they have in them is basically all of our available listings and then other properties that we have sold in the past as well. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, you know, you can pick one of these up and compare what your property is in specific counties to what's in this magazine and kind of get an idea or price of what yours might be worth. So it's not only just like a, hey, list with us, hey, buy with us. It's also kind of an informational piece too for people just to pick up and see what's out there in these, because we have stuff, there's some in there in Illinois, some in Kentucky too. But most of those listings are probably Missouri.
Well, I'd like to give people a little warning about this magazine. Be sure and take a handkerchief with you when you pick this magazine up, because you're going to slobber on these properties.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. And then there's there's a QR code on there, I think, that's a direct link right back to our website too. So, you know, if you don't want to flip through the pages, you can go right to the website.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, guys, it's been wonderful having you on the program, catching up a little bit. Hey, we need to wish everybody a Happy New Year,
man. Happy New Year and Merry Christmas, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, Christmas is gone, man. You're looking at next year.
Right, yeah.
But once again, I'd like to put in a little plug for DeerCast. I write for the DeerCast app, and every article I write for them, you'll see my name highlighted at the bottom. If you click on that, it will take you directly to Living the Dream Outdoor Properties website. So that let you know, we are in the business selling deer hunting properties. We're even on DeerCast, so little brag up there. But once again, I'm Bill Cooper for Hunter Hyman and Lucas. What's that last name again?
McElhannon.
McElhannon, that's a mouthful.
I just go by Lucas. Don't
yeah,
even, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I call him all the time. But anyway, we're living our outdoor dreams. We encourage you to get into the outdoors and live your outdoor dreams as well.
Captain Brian Wilson runs one of the tightest bow fishing operations in the business. Stainwater Bow Fishing operates out of Jerome, Missouri, and the beautiful Missouri Ozarks. They cover most Ozark streams and lakes. You haven't lived until you've searched Ozark waters during the night with Stainwater Bow Fishing while looking for giant gar, carp, and buffalo. Captain Wilson also runs a second boat on Taneycomo Lake. Call today to book a trip with Stainwater Bow Fishing at 573-263-8016. Again, that's 573-263-8016. Be sure and shoot straight.
The Living the Dream Outdoors podcast is brought to you by Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, the Fly Rod Journals, SmokerBuilder.com, Cowtown USA, Westover Farms, Scenic Rivers Taxidermy, Stained Water Bow Fishing, Scenic Rivers Guide Service and Tours, Huzzah Valley Resort, Pico Lures, Devil's Backbone Outfitters, The Fallen Outdoors, Ledco Sinkers and Lure Company, Turnbow Outdoors, J&J Charters, Kaufman Cove, Alaska, Big Ed's Guide Service, Bean Creek Game Calls, Misty Mountain Guide Service, ASO Guides and Outfitters with Ryan Walker, On the Hook TV, Expedition Trailers, The Rambling Angler, Spare Rib Inn in Steelville, Missouri, and Rich's Famous Burgers.
Land ownership is the American dream. Land is the basis of all life. Our wise use of this most precious of resources ensures the survival and growth of free institutions and our American way of life. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we value the traditions and freedoms that land provides us. Every day we seek the solace of a mountain sunrise over traffic jams and smog, the calming silence of a bubbling stream over the sirens of the city, and the quiet of the countryside over the hustle and bustle of the world. We hunt, we fish, we farm. We live off the land. It's our mission to help our clients live out their dreams on the land as we do. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we believe that it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. Join us 5 days a week on Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast as the Living the Dream Outdoor Dream Team explores the most desired outdoor properties in the Midwest and whisks you away to incredible hunting, fishing, and outdoor recreation opportunities. Host Bill Cooper, an inductee of the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, will be joined by members of the Living the Dream Outdoors team each week as they tell tall tales, unveil tips and tactics, and rub elbows with some of the biggest names in the outdoor world. You'll also find the Living the Dream Outdoors podcast on your favorite social media platforms, including Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok.